Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. From Much Ado About Nothing and The Taming of the Shrew to King Lear and Othello, Shakespeare continually mined gender and power dynamics in his plays.
This week, the UWM Theater Department is staging one of his lesser-produced plays, Cymbeline. Gender and power are at the center of this later play, too, and director and theater professor Rebecca Holderness recently talked with me about why she chose to produce it.
It's a great one for students because it isn't done very often. But I thought it was an interesting play to do now because at the core of the play is a wager that results in a kind of sexual harassment or stalking. And I thought that it was an interesting play to look at the spectrum between passion and violence and look at it from a position of gradations and of mistakes and recovery, and also the relationship between a very nationalistic portrayal of a country on the verge of war. So in the state of change, all those things seemed like they would be interesting things to talk about with a group of students in the room right now.
And I assume it has been interesting to talk about.
It's been great.
Yeah,
it's been wonderful.
Well, and this is one of his late canon, too. And so, again, it's one of those plays that I know was originally considered, it was categorized as a tragedy, but isn't now. And when did that shift happen?
When exactly? I'm not sure. But I think it has a very unique combination of fantasy, magic, tragedy, and comedy, which I think is typical of some of the later plays.
Yeah, me too. I mean, you know, we think of The Tempest. I'm not sure what he was thinking about, but all of those things seem to come into those later plays, and a lot of the supernatural and a lot of the crossing boundaries in interesting sorts of ways.
I do think that Shakespeare moved indoors at some point, and as soon as he did that, he was able to think about more technology that might be able to create magic, and I think that opened up some imagination for him.
You know, you talk about the idea of a wager that basically results in harassment and it results in stalking, and usually it's Taming of the Shrew that we use to explore that in Shakespeare. In what ways is Cymbeline different in the way he's thinking about either the gender balance or imbalance or what is acceptable and isn't? How did that shift between those two plays?
One of the great things about Cymbeline is that Imogen, who is the subject of this wager, takes action for herself, as opposed to, say, Desdemona or other characters in Shakespeare who are not able to take that action. So I think that that's exciting to do in the play. The wager is an old, old story, all the way from Boccaccio and the Decameron. So it's interesting that that story of men sitting around betting over what women will or won't do and their wives will or won't do with a kind of nationalistic fervor is so ancient, is interesting.
You know, it's funny you say that Imogen is the first. I always think of Kate in Shrew as kind of acting on her own behalf. And, of course, there's arguments about the ending about whether she actually does or doesn't, and does she submit or doesn't she. What does Imogen do that is different from what Kate does?
She goes and gets a job, essentially. She is trying to get back to her husband to try to figure out what went on. But she takes control of that journey. She's not locked up anywhere. She actually gets on her feet and tries to find a Roman, a boss, really, who is extremely kind to her. And then at the resolution scene, she's able to really call onto the carpet both of the men who have sort of sent her on this journey.
Made the wager. Right. And set the whole play in motion. One of the ways you are exploring this is through 80s music. And you are using, I know, Pat Benatar as kind of the key song or one of the songs. What was it about 80s music that it worked now with the Me Too movement, with what's going on, that made this play work so well for students?
Well, the specific inspiration is Love is a Battlefield. And I feel like the resonance between the 80s and now has to do with not knowing anymore what the rules are. And I think that lays everyone open to choices that are good and choices that are bad, but also places of deep insecurity and about what would be the right behavior or what can I depend on other people to do. And certainly in the play, one has a sense that Imogen's husband, who is exiled, who is, you know, being dissed for not being royal, and whose father is gone, whose mother is gone, who's all alone, and has to move to a foreign country and live with someone that he doesn't know, I guess I always feel like there's a deep insecurity in him that lays him open to this kind of bro-ish wager that comes out of teasing and dissing, really. So it feels to me like a very insecure time. We're not sure what is the right behavior anymore, what we can trust or what we can't trust in everything from buying a house to politics. So I think the students are emerging into a world of disquiet, and I think that the 80s were like that as well. That's my opinion. And I think love is a battlefield right now. So why not use that song?
As you say, the 80s were a huge time of change in the world. I mean, empires came down, walls opened up, wars happened because of that. And it does sort of feel like we're in the same sort of point in time where things could go all kinds of different directions, and we just don't know. We can't predict with any kind of comfort. What are some of the things that your students are saying about the music? Do they know this music, or is this like, oh, it's their parents?
No, they know it all by heart. They know.
That's fantastic.
And every time I put another song or another piece of a song, I get, you know, huge applause or a real excitement. I think part of that excitement is also a sense that at the core of all of that music is a young couple or young people. And I feel like they feel very affirmed that they could do this sort of obscure, perhaps Shakespeare play, and connect it to something that feels so fundamental to them.
And it's not Romeo and Juliet.
No.
This is so different. And you're dealing with very, very adult things in this play. It's not like it's young love gone wrong. It's a very different thing.
Well, it's young people, still at the core, but it is really different. And it's not in a basket of romantic assumptions. So many well-known Shakespeare plays are heavily burdened with many historical performances, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years of criticism. This play feels freer to them, and I think that they enjoy that. And there's everything that you might want as a performer. There's love and passion, and there's a war, and there's some crazy scenes that sort of happen in the dark. So it's fun to do.
Rebecca Holderness, it was always a pleasure to see you. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Rebecca Holderness is professor of theater at UWM's Peck School of the Arts. Her production of Shakespeare's Cymbeline runs November 7th through 11th at the Kenilworth 508 on Milwaukee's East Side. There's more information at wuwm.com. We are young.